Open the page 59, the last paragraph, number one, permeation through manifestation of the essence of suchness. I think that from this chart, I think you can find the permeation of the truth. The permeation of the truth is divided into two kinds, permeation through manifestation of the essence of suchness. Permeation of through inferences. Do you have this one? Bigger one. Permeation through manifestation of the essence of suchness. And simply speaking, it means the essence permeation. The essence is constantly permeating ignorance and devoted thoughts. So the all beings, all sentient beings from all eternity endowed with suchness of the pure mind in its original nature. Pure mind in its original nature. I think when the truth appears in the samsaric world, truth is called pure mind in its original nature. This term always appears in the Prajnaparamita Sutra and Majjhimaka, pretty much. So pure mind in its original nature. According to awakening of faith, I think Arya Vijnana, when the Tathagata Gaudiya, the works in the samsaric world, it is called Arya Vijnana. So Arya Vijnana is exactly pure mind in its original nature. Okay? In other words, real bottom, ultimate, the ultimate nature of Arya Vijnana, samsaric world. That is exactly pure nature in its original, pure mind in its original nature. Because the samsaric world is always grounded of the truth. Okay? So the ultimate nature of samsara is exactly the same as truth. So real truth is, the real truth has no sense of discrimination. But when you say pure mind in its original nature, this mind has a sense of discrimination, because samsaric world, it belongs to samsaric world. So term is different, okay? Your truth is completely beyond discriminations, any sense of the six senses. But when the truth works in the samsaric world, we have lots of names, pure mind in its original nature, or Buddha Dhamma nature, etc. But at that time, it is already, it belongs already to a samsaric world. So that term has a sense of discrimination. So, for instance, real Buddha, later. Okay. In other words, for example, real Buddha is beyond human discrimination. But as long as Buddha works in the samsaric world with all sentient beings, he belongs to the samsaric world. So his life already has already a sense of discrimination, subject and object. So very naturally, Buddha has to walk in the end with all sentient beings. At that time, he cannot ignore subject and object. So very naturally, there is discrimination. There is a sense of discrimination in his life. But his real life is completely beyond discrimination. That's why his life as a total personality is walking very calm. But on the other hand, he is walking hand in hand with all sentient beings. So that's why all sentient beings feel very closely to Buddha's life. This is called skillful expedient of Buddha's life. Very skillful. Okay? So, all beings, according to the essence permeation, or permeation through manifestation of the essence of suchness. Think all beings from all eternity are endowed with suchness of the pure mind in its original nature. Its strength to purify is appearing inwardly to one's ignorance and dual thought. So the essence of suchness constantly appearing inwardly to all sentient beings. Ignorance and deluded thoughts. But all beings do not awake to the power of the original awakening of suchness, so it is provided with, here says, supra-rational function in this book. Okay. The essence of suchness is from the beginning, beginningless beginning, endowed with the perfect state of purity. So truth is constantly appearing toward all sentient beings inwardly. Okay. But all sentient beings don't realize exactly. But even though all sentient beings don't realize it, truth is always appearing toward all sentient beings. That's why it is the supra-rational functions. Because the functioning of the suchness is existent as wonderful functions, wondrous functions, okay? Functions. Because all sentient beings do not realize it. Okay? And he says that is one reason why all the truth is connected very closely with all sentient beings, samsaric world. Because one reason is constantly appearing to our samsaric world. The second is, he says, the nature of manifesting itself. Because of these two reasons, it permeates perpetually into ignorance. So second reason is even a little bit, if the all sentient being realized a little bit the permeation of the truth towards samsaric world, at that time all sentient beings have the wisdom of enlightenment, kind of a wisdom, kind of a faith. He or she realized the truth working the over all sentient beings, constantly appearing. Then he or she gets experience of enlightenment or wisdom. Okay? He realizes a little bit wisdom, but not exactly. They don't realize exactly. In other words, that permeation of the truth doesn't work in his or her life, but he awakens to that, the truth permeating samsaric world. At that time, it becomes, these all sentient beings have experience of wisdom. Okay? So very naturally, they try to approach to the truth. Okay. So wisdom, in this case, experience of wisdom is really the subjectivity, one subjectivity. Okay. Do you understand? Wisdom is, in other words, your life, your understanding, your attitude towards samsaric world change in a broad sense, in a universal sense. So you become very tolerant and you appreciate your life and the human world. So very naturally, that means you can have experience of wisdom, understanding the samsaric world in the universal perspective. And at that time, this his or her life is really based on wisdom, so wisdom of enlightenment. So if you have experience of wisdom, very naturally, wisdom is curious of searching what real truth is. Okay. So more and more, you are interested in the searching what the real truth is. So very naturally, real truth becomes your object. Before that, the real truth is completely far from your life. Even though you don't know, the truth is constantly appearing toward your life. Second reason is, if you awaken to the truth a little bit, I think you can have the experience of wisdom. Okay? And wisdom, the experience of wisdom, enables you to be interested in more and more what the real truth is like. So very naturally, real truth becomes your object. Samsaric world is not your object exactly. You manifest samsaric world totally in your life. But the real interest thing is the real truth. What real truth? Searching the real truth. So real truth become object. Okay? And next it says, through the force of this penetration, it induces a man to loathe the suffering of samsara, to seek bliss in nirvana, and believing that he has principle of suchness within himself, to make up his mind to exert himself. Okay. Then naturally, you try to loathe the misery of life and death and reach the nirvana. And believing that he has the principle of suchness within himself, to make up his mind to exert himself. Then naturally, you really are interested in researching what the truth is, real truth is. So your life is constantly going, just like snowballing. From the top of the mountain to the bottom of the, the hill, in a good sense, you are researching. So from this point, think the two goals, the misery of life and death, is not due to the power of your deluded thoughts, but due to the power of suchness. Dogen Zenji mentions, if you want to study the Buddha way, you have to believe in the Buddha way which you are presently in. You are present right in the midst of the way. So you are already in the midst of the way, the real truth. You have to believe this. Or in the Bodhicitta chapter, Bodhicitta in the Shobogendo, and if you experience arousing body mind, the way seeking mind, Dogen Zenji mentions, you don't try to arouse the body mind. But a body mind arouses body mind. Because if you try to arouse body mind, this is your deluded thought. But if you have experience of arousing body mind, the way seeking mind, what make it possible for you to do this? That is body mind itself. Arouse body mind. In other words, real truth. Body mind means your Buddha nature. Anyway, arouse your body mind, awakening your body mind. So in the Saddhama Pundarika says, only Buddhas know. Only Buddha knows. Okay? Only Buddha knows what the Buddha is. You can say. You are Buddha. So who knows? Only Buddha knows. You are Buddha. So that means the concentrate, the truth, the real truth, appealing to you, helping to you. That is, philosophically we say Dharma. Dharma means supporting, uphold, supporting the all sentient being. This is the original meaning of term Dharma. Uphold, support. That which constantly supports all sentient beings. This is called Dharma. Then next, there is page 60, there is a question. Okay? If the truth is constantly appealing to us and helping us, at that time, why there are lots of differences of people? Some experience the faith and the wisdom or the truth very quickly. Some are going very slowly, etc. Okay. So question is, if this is so, then all sentient beings are endowed with suchness and are equally permeated by it. Why is it that there are infinite varieties of believers and non-believers, and that there are some who believe sooner and some later? All of them should, knowing that they are endowed with the principle of suchness, at once make an effort utilizing expedient means and should all equally attain nirvana. But practically, there are lots of different people's lifestyles. So this is a question. So one, the answer, the three kinds of answers here. First answer is, it is due to the intensity of the influence of ignorance, which varies in such manifold grades as to outnumber the sounds of Ganges. This is the first answer. So there are ignorance, a different type of ignorance, different kinds of ignorance in human life. Okay. This is firmly one reason. Because the ignorance doesn't exist, actually. Okay. But practically, it exists. Intellectually, we don't know where ignorance is. But practically, in our everyday life, you can see it. It works every day. Because it appears, it is produced by causes and conditions, particularly conditioned elements, okay? Many conditioned elements. So when the wind comes, then naturally there is the appearance of ignorance. So by circumstances, it is produced. But intellectually, we don't know where is it. If you try to trace back to the beginning, from where it comes, we don't know where is it. We don't know from where it comes. But practically, it's here. So very naturally, the individual, there are lots of different circumstances or personality characters, you know, coming from the beginning of this past. So we don't know. Many, many kinds of ignorance appears. So second answer is he says, the need of coordinating causes, such as producing a fire and burn wood. We have to apply any method whereby the potential principle can be actualized. In other words, we need coordinating causes. Not only the main cause, but coordinating causes. Without coordinating causes, what samsaric world is not actualized. Nothing is actualized. For instance, seeds itself has its own reason why it exists. This is, it grows. It grows naturally. If you put it on the ground, it grows. Okay? But without a warmness, heat, light of sun, and human effort, seeds doesn't appear in the samsaric world. So without the coordinating causes, nothing is actualized. So that page 61, but here says it is like the second lines of the top. It is like the case of wood, though it possesses a latent fire nature, which is the primary cause of its burning. It cannot be made to burn by itself unless men understand the situation and resort to means of actualizing fire out of wood by kindling it. In the same way, a man, though he is in possession of the correct primary cause, so-called Buddha nature, okay? Such as suchness with permeating force cannot put the end to its defilements by himself alone and enter nirvana unless he is provided with coordinating causes. That is, his encounters with the Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, or good spiritual friends. So in other words, we need a lot of help. Okay? We have inwardly great energy to become, to manifest ourselves as a Buddha. But without help externally, it's impossible to manifest ourselves in proper way as a Buddha. Okay? So that is the second answer. The third answer, we need the both causes, the main cause, and also coordinating causes. Okay. Both should work together. If, for instance, we realize that personally, individually, we realize the existence of the truth in his or her life. And starting to research the truth by his effort, by his or her effort. But if, and also, you know, the externally there are lots of references, okay, for him or her to learn the real truth. In other words, external help. Teachers, your friends, and references, and lots of things. But still, we need time and opportunity which are ripe. So external help and internal your effort must be in accord with each other. Otherwise, very difficult to manifest yourself exactly, because you have quite different ignorance from others. Everyone studies the same things and practices same things, but exactly everyone manifests himself or herself in completely in a different way. So sometimes you can walk very smoothly towards the studying the Buddha way, but sometimes you don't want. So your life goes zigzag always. So then we need both external help, internal help. Anyone must become one, and then you can really manifest yourself in proper way as a Buddha. That is the third reason. And in this book, middle of the page 61, from the even though according causes, okay, did you find? Page 61, even though according causes from without means externally, okay? Even though coordinating causes from without may be sufficiently provided, if the pure principle, that is suchness, within is lacking in the force of permeation, then a man cannot ultimately loathe the suffering of samsara and seek bliss in nirvana. However, if both the primary and the coordinating causes are sufficiently provided, then because of his possession of the force of permeation of suchness from within, and the compassionate protection of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas from without. He is able to develop a loathing for suffering, to believe that Nirvana is real, and to cultivate his capacity for goodness. And when his cultivation of the capacity for goodness matures, he will, as a result, meet the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas, and will be instructed, taught, benefited, and given joy, and then he will be able to advance on the path to Nirvana. So, to Ross, he says to Ross, you know, when the both primary cause and coordinating cause are both sufficiently provided, then you can develop your life as a Buddha very naturally. And to loathe the misery of life and death and try to reach to the Nirvana. But in this case, the to loathe question is, there is a question to loathe the Nirvana, the life, misery of life and death. I think in the primitive life, primitive world, it is easier for the primitive people to accept life is suffering. The truth which life is characterized by suffering, because not so many the foods, not so many the clothes, and the very poor, so very naturally they can easily accept the truth which life is characterized by suffering. But in the modern age, it's very difficult for us to accept the truth that life is suffering, because there are many things which please human beings. So it's very difficult for us to accept suffering of human life. That's why most of people try to hate, try to escape from the suffering. And because there are many things to make you please, and to please your life, it's not necessary to suffer. So, but that means in this case, I think that to loathe the misery of suffering, life and death, and to reach the Nirvana means you should know the significance of how to live. You should know the significance of living to the full, not just exist according to our desires, okay, to assert themselves. So we should know how to live to the full, connecting with all sentient beings, how to live in peace and harmony anyway. And also, even in there is another point we have to pay attention to, okay? Even in the primitive world and in the modern civilization, anyway, we have the same way, same attitude toward human life, loathing, escaping from the suffering of life and death, and to be happy. What is real meaning of the suffering? Okay. We should know what is real meaning of suffering and what is the real meaning of happiness. What is happiness in the true sense? What is the suffering in true sense? This is very important. Okay. Okay, next. Second, the permeation through inferences. Activity of suchness from the first, from the essence of permeation of essence. I think the we have learned that the truth is constantly acting on us, appealing to us inwardly, regardless of whether we realize it or not. Then, now, how it acting, how it appearing to us. So we try to know the functioning of the permeation, okay, of the truth. So, that is, the title is a Permeation Through Inferences. So, activity of suchness is identical with the, what would you say, activity of the Buddha appealing all beings to help them out by providing the external coordinating causes. This is the meaning of the permeation through inferences. So he says, this is the fourth from without affecting man by providing coordinating causes. Such external coordinating causes have an infinite number of meanings. Briefly, they may be explained under two categories, namely the specific and the general coordinating causes. So truth is always helping, inwardly and externally. Inwardly or externally. Internal world, you have the truth. External world, Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas helps you. Okay. So, the permeation through inferences is divided into two kinds. One is the specific coordinating causes. During the practice from the first stage of aspiration for the truth to the last stage of nirvana, the practicer can have plenty of chances to meet or to see the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas in the manifold ways. However, the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas appear as his relatives, parents, brothers and sisters, wife and the children, or his servants, or his friends. His partners, sometimes his enemies, etc., to guide and encourage his practice of, in the note, the second paragraph of the note, four acts of loving and kindness are defined as charity, kind speech, beneficial action, and cooperation. That before for the Bodhisattva practice, charity, compassion, charity, giving, and kind speech, and beneficial action, and cooperation. Cooperation means you have to put yourself in others' place. Instead of individual desire to assert itself. Okay. So anyway, help. You have to put yourself in others' place. So that is cooperation. So four kinds of bodhisattva practice. So to guide and encourage is practice of four kinds of bodhisattva practice. Kind, loving. To reach the nirvana. Thus, Buddhas and bodhisattvas appeal to the practicer in a multiform, skillful method. This means that suchness or truth is of reality, which reaches every place, and it is not just an ideal, but tatata, that is what is actualized vividly. In other words, in Shobo Gendo, Genjo Koan, Dogen, the court example, Hotetsu Zen Master, using the fan, the monk asks, there is conversation between the monk and Hotetsu Zen Master. In the last part, the portion of the Genjo Koan. Monks knows the truth that the wind is omnipresent. So monk's question is, why you use a fan? Because original nature of the wind is omnipresent everywhere. Why do you use fan? So the master says, you know the meaning of the omnipresent, but you don't know the meaning of it reaching every place. So reaching every place, if the truth is reaching every place, means the cups is Buddha, truth. Table is a truth. Now idealistically, we know the Buddha is omnipresent. We know the omnipresence of the Buddha, but we don't know the real meaning of omnipresence of the Buddhas. reaching everywhere. We should know truth is reaching everywhere. That's why in the Saddhama Pundalika Sutra, Avalokiteshvara appears as a voice when he or she sees boys and girls. He appears as a voice and a girl. Sometimes Bodhisattva appears as old men, senior man, senior woman, senior citizens. Sometimes, anyway, teacher, as a teacher. Bodhisattva appears as parents and friends and brothers and sisters. Sometimes as a suffering, sometimes as a pain, anyway. Because the truth penetrates, reaches everywhere. This is called the permeation of the truth. So that's why he says, the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas appear as his relatives, parents, brothers and sisters, wife and children, or his servants or friends, etc., to guide and encourage the practice of for the Bodhisattvas to reach the Nirvana. Thus, Buddhas and Bodhisattvas appeal to the practitioner in multiform skillful method. This means that suchness or truth is of reality which reaches every places, and it is not just ideal, but tatata. We say tatata. Tatata is a different name of Buddha. Okay? Focusing on real state of the truth, how it is functioning in our life. So tatata, truth is functioning always. Just going, just coming. Tatata is a state of being which is just going, just coming. Without being stuck a certain place, a certain portion of the time, space. This is tatata, which means the real function of the truth. That is another name of Buddha. We call tatata. This also means that continuous appealing to the practitioner is due to permeating inferences based on compassion. To let him to realize the cause of suffering and to practice threefold wholesome is being free from three poisons, or to encourage him to create various opportunities to do so according to his capability and circumstances. Therefore, there are various benefits in individual life. That is why it is named specific coordinating causes. In other words, individual causes. Okay. Individual causes. So that is compassion. The constantly functioning for us. Truth is functioning for us constantly. This is so-called compassion. Compassion. We don't know it. We don't realize it. But it is functioning constantly. This is called compassion, we say. So Buddha's compassion. Okay. In order to realize it, in order to guide us to realize how the truth is functioning, okay, for us, using the term, okay, that is a compassion, we say. So compassion is real ultimate function, ultimate nature of the function of truth. Okay. That is compassion. That's why compassion appears beyond your discriminating mind. For instance, I mentioned always, when you see the little boys rushing into the traffic of the street, at that time you unconsciously saved him from the dangers, his danger. Okay. Beyond the discussions, immediately you try to help. So that is compassion beyond your discriminating mind. So compassion is little different from our sense, so-called kindness. But it's very difficult to have that opportunity to manifest real compassion. It's very rare opportunity to experience, to manifest that kind of real compassion. That's why only way to express the compassion is through our usual everyday life, surrounded by kindness, friendliness, love, etc. So, be kind, be friend to others, we can say. Through this kindness, through this friendliness, we can move toward real compassion. Gradually, you can understand it. Or sometimes quickly, you can understand. Okay? And also the okay. The specific coordinating causes is divided into two categories: immediate causes and remote causes. Okay, immediate causes means to give immediate opportunity to enable the practitioner to attain to Buddhahood. Remote causes means to give gradual opportunity to enable the practitioner to attain to the Buddhahood. Through countless span of time, in other words, there are many kinds of type of the people, a mature person or immature person. When you educate immature person, anyway, you have to be patient and give opportunity to learn the Buddha way for long run. Even though they don't understand, anyway, we must be patient and try to give opportunity to learn and to reach Buddha's way, using the lots of time, countlessly. So very naturally, you must be compassionate. And you must be patient. So that is, he says, okay. And each of them, each of these two, is further divided into two kinds. One is the causes that strengthen the practices, the causes, the practices. It means to help out the practitioner to increase the strength of six parameters. In this case, we try to help people giving the immediate opportunity to learn the Buddha way, and to giving the gradual opportunity to learn the Buddha way. Okay? But at that time, we need a certain skillful method, that is the six parameter in this book mentions. So, and then the cause that enables man to attain wisdom. By the practice of six parameters, you can have experience of wisdom. Okay. Okay, that's. Do you have a question? Okay. Both. Loading. Mm-hmm.
Back in the first section, you talked about fear. Mm-hmm. Let's know the difference between for instance, you might say, in fact, you did say today, that if we're not wise, something like that, you want to escape from suffering. Okay, that must mean that we don't like suffering. We want to escape from it. So what is the difference between when you're coordinating causes, primary and coordinating causes develop, and you develop a loathing? I have an idea of my own, but maybe to help clarify it, I think it's like if we hate a person, we don't actually hate the person, we hate hating. So in order to understand that hating, we have to approach that person and not hate them. So, a loathing for suffering, or if these conditions develop, then it's like we have to go right into the middle of suffering. But still, my main point is, why do we escape, and why do we, or do we like suffering? For instance, if this loathing doesn't develop, do we like it?
You mean, do we like loathing the misery of life and death?
We like misery. We love misery. For instance, if the primary and coordinate causes don't develop, then we don't develop a loathing for suffering, like the book said. So does that mean if they don't develop, we enjoy misery?
Not the enjoy means in the true sense, and the enjoy means that you can accept the misery of life and death. That is That is happened when you realize the truth is exactly with you, helping with you. Your body and mind are not different from the truth or Buddha's, etc. Your body is exact, body and mind is exact Buddha himself. At that time, misery of life and death is can be accepted. Instead of looking at misery of life and death objectively. But as long as we are human being, as long as our mind is moving, well, even a little moment, we can see that misery of life and death as an object. Okay. But the question is, how long you can stay with this objectivity, okay. object, in other words, dichotomies. We cannot escape from that dichotomy, a sense of dichotomy. So, question is, how much you can stay with this dichotomy? Do you like it? Or do you don't like it? Well, if you say, do you like it? It is already time and opportunity, time and space. Dichotomy. So, practically speaking, I don't know what it is. Do you like it? I don't like it. You don't like it? Yes, I like it. In terms of dichotomy, a sense of dichotomy, there is always two questions coming up.
Is that something we always choose to do?
Yes, in a sense, we have to choose, in a sense. So,
sometimes it seems like there's no
choice.
I mean, you're there without your choice.
There is always choice, alternative. Do you like it or do you don't like it? So you have to choose.
You seem to wind up in that kind of state.
You're wind up.
Choosing.
Yes.
You seem to just be there, but you've never made a choice.
That's why when you choose that attitude toward human life, how to choose it? Okay? Do you choose according to the give and take, according to the sense of give and take. If I choose this, I get benefit or not. Okay? This is very usual sense of alternative. But on the other end, if you choose A, this is your whole life and also manifestation of whole universe. Okay? That time, even though you make a choice of A, and then later you can find the suffering more, but you can accept. So that is content of the alternative. How do you choose? In other words, content. Question is content of the choose. Okay, choice. Okay? That is quite different. If you choose something according to the give and take or pros and cons, success and failure, that time you don't like a misery after choosing something.
Imagine these decisions might manifest themselves years later.
Yes. So that's why we need a practice of wholeheartedness. You know, when you do Zazen right now, what do you like? Do you like a Zazen or you don't like a Zazen? If you discuss, always two things. I like it, but I don't like it. But how do you do it? Right now. You have to make a choice. You don't like it? Go away. If you like it, stay. So, let's do it. At that time, question is, content of the alternative, which you have make a choice. And then the word which you have made a choice is exactly manifestation of your whole universe. That is, universe is you, Sadhguru is Buddha. That is to live.